What's up, babes? It is May, the month to celebrate our moms. It's a glorious morning, a day that we will never see again in this lifetime. So let's take the time to enjoy life while we can. I'm your girl, Neek Austin, and this is Koro is a Crush. Welcome to another episode of Koro is a Crush. I'm Neek Austin, the CEO and founder of Koro, a home-based beauty, wellness, and design shop providing premium high-quality press-on nails, beauty accessories, and home decor that we know you'll fall in love with, all while providing a community for self-care lovers, beauty mavens, and small business owners to live life on their terms through fashion, beauty, and faith. Good morning, good morning, good morning to all of my beautiful, beautiful people in the podcast world. All right, so this is the month of May. We are at the end of the month, but we are still honoring the special women in our lives all month long. And today's episode is called Celebrating the Queen in You. It is time to celebrate the queen in you. The woman who knows how to make a mean cup of tea and knows exactly what she wants from life. The woman who knows her worth and isn't afraid to ask for it. The woman who knows how to shop for the perfect outfit, even if it means picking up a few extra pair of shoes on the way home from work. The woman who is here for herself first, but also for her friends, family, and community. Now, she loves her community, even when it's just a small group of people who live in her neighborhood. And she wants them all to know how much they mean to her. She also wants them to know how much she appreciates their presence in her life and strives every day towards being worthy of their friendship. But most importantly, she wants everyone else out there to know that they're special too, that they deserve love, care, and attention just as much as anyone else does, no matter what size or color they may be. We're all queens here at Koro and at the Queen in You. So let's show it off. That brings me to my guest for today. Today's guest is all about celebrating the queen in you, which is also the name of her company. We'll explore how to harness the power of being a woman and use it for the good. We'll also take a look at what it means to be a queen and why celebrating your inner royalty is key to unlocking your full potential. Please welcome Miss Michelle Peterson from The Queen in You. How are you doing, my love?
I am doing fine, Queen. How are you? Thank you so much.
I am blessed and highly favored in the Lord. Thank you so much.
That's right.
So, Miss Michelle, now I know that the coolest part about this episode right here is the fact that you are the first person on my podcast to be from the same state that I'm in here in Virginia.
All right.
Okay. And from the Tidewater area, in which that's where I'm at, and you literally right down the road.
Right. Yes, that's awesome. Look, I'm the first one in your area, and look, you're my first time I'm being on a podcast. So, you know, this is awesome.
I'm so excited. I really am. I'm truly excited. I had no idea that you was from my area until I did my giveaway on Instagram for my book.
Right.
And when I saw the address, I said, wait a minute.
Yeah, because when you mentioned that to me, I was like, oh wow, that's awesome. Because, you know, again, in this business, you know, you meet people, and so when people are kind of in your neighborhood, that sometimes that's awesome too, because you get a chance to connect and, you know, things like that. So yeah, I was kind of psyched about that as well.
Absolutely. And we were able to attend the Foster Beauty Fashion Show together. So that was the first time that we actually met in person. Yep. And I thought that was so awesome because I was scared to death being in an environment like that before. I mean, I've been to fashion shows before, mm-hmm. but not at that stature. So to actually get the chance to meet you and to talk to you and everything, I was like, she nice. I told my husband, she really nice, dude. She nice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Sentiments, same here, you know, because again, you never know, you know, how people are going to be. You see them on Instagram or whatever social media platform, but if you get to meet them in person, you never know how it's going to go. So yeah, I thought, you know, you and your husband were great. Yeah, I was kind and nice. And so, you know, it was almost like we had already known each other, you know, a little bit. So yeah, it was awesome.
Absolutely. And again, I thank you so much for taking the risk, wanting to be on my podcast for this episode. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for answering that call. I greatly appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for this platform. Absolutely. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got, you know, I had to honor y'all back. Y'all helped Coco get to the level it's on now. So it was only fair for me to return the favor. All right. So I got a couple of questions that I'm going to ask you. And before we get started, I would like for you to tell my community who you are and your business and what it is that you do.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Nick said, that my name is Michelle Peterson, and I am the owner and CEO of The Queen in You. We are a woman's online boutique. We sell apparel, and we just kind of started incorporating accessories, but predominantly clothes, you know, fashion. So, you know, as you mentioned, The Queen in You, when I started the business, you know, really wanted a name that really exudes who I was. And that name just came to me. It was easy. I didn't have to think about it long. And, right. You know, my target audience are curvy, full figure women, but you know, we try to have something for everyone. But you know, because I am, you know, a full size girl, plus size girl, you know, I wanted to kind of cater to my girls, you know. And you know, as I was coming up, a lot of times, you know, being a little bit bigger, we didn't always have cute things, you know. So okay. And you know, and I always wanted to own my own business. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but when it came time for me to decide and figure out what I wanted to do, again, it just hit me that this would be natural for me to do, because I've been in fashion and kind of all my life. I even was a model when I was younger, but you know, I couldn't keep that size, because back then it was all about being, you know, real thin. And so, you know, I love to eat, so but anyway, so you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we could feel sexy as well. We, you know, my business really is about providing fashion, clothing that would make you feel good about who you are, be confident in who you are. And I know sometimes, you know, it's not always about the clothes, but sometimes, yeah, it is, you know, because we feel great when our hair is done, we have on some really cute clothes, and you know, got banging shoes. And so I just wanted to give back in that way, that I could provide some variety to my curvy plus size girls.
Okay. Now I definitely can relate to the plus size, because I once was a plus size female. All my life I grew up that way, and it wasn't until I was diagnosed as a diabetic when I turned 30 and I allowed myself to go through some things health-wise that I should not have gone through. And so that my last resort was that I had to get weight loss surgery. So I got weight loss surgery December 2020, and I went from a size 20 to a size 12. So in the modeling world, I think I'm still considered plus size, but seeing me is like, no, you ain't plus size no more, honey. You skinny now. And I'm like, I don't know what that feels like, because I've never been skinny. And even when I lost the weight, the first store that I went to, I went into the plus size section. And my husband redirected me and said, Neek, you ain't plus size no more, honey. You got to come over here to the junior section. I'm like, this feels weird. And even though it will be 2 years, December this year, it still feels weird. But I'm learning how to adjust to being small. And no matter what, I still love my plus size girls. So.
Yeah. We gotta take care of ourselves, and so I certainly understand that. And even sometimes when I go into other stores, plus size stores, I've even seen that now they're carrying 10s and 12s now. So, you know, I agree, that's not plus size, but they're starting to kind of carry those sizes too. So, you know, even with the Queen and You, like I said, even though predominantly, you know, it's curvy plus size, you know, I wanna, you know, as we continue to grow, I certainly want to be able to carry more, kind of for everybody, you know. Of obviously curvy and plus size is my thing, but again, as we grow, I want to be able to appeal to everybody, no matter what the size, you know, you are. Because, you know, I think we all are queens regardless of what size we are. Right. And again, it's just about being able to provide the variety of different things, different styles, different fashions, you know, whether, you know, if you feel like dressing down, you may want to be cute and be dressed down, you know what I mean? So I want to be able to provide so many different variety of things that, you know, you can wear, you know, no matter how you're feeling that day, you know?
Right, right. And I think that is so awesome because a lot of us plus size girls, we don't have, the clothes are out there now more so than they were before back in the day when I was coming up.
Right.
We are able to shop on websites, you know, such as Fashion Nova and Shein and all these other different websites. And now I'm seeing black women who are creating their own businesses, now catering to the plus size community themselves, whether they are purchasing the clothes from China or they are hand making the clothes themselves. Either way, y'all are now giving us an opportunity to say, we don't have to shop online or we don't have to go to the same stores for the plus size women. Now we got more choices to choose from. We got more stores that we can actually go to
That's
find,
right.
you know, the different types of clothes that we like to wear. You know, some of us don't like to wear grandma clothes.
Absolutely, and I know I don't.
I was one of them coming up. I wanted to show my behind like everybody else.
Right.
You know, I was curvy then. So, and even now, after I lost the weight, I show more skin now than I did before. But in the same token, I also see plus size women that still want that. I know I'm big, but I also know that there's a man that is going to look at me, just like a man is going to look at someone that is smaller. So
that's right. That's right.
Types of clothes to make themselves feel good. And I'm glad that women like you are stepping up to say, yeah, I want to be able to offer cute clothes to my plus size divas and everything. And it's
absolutely
only fair because they have been neglected for so many decades.
Yeah.
And now it is time for us to shine, and we shine.
That's right. And we are shining. That's right. We are. And I just want to make a little dent in that, you know, making it possible for us to continue to shine. And so, absolutely. Yep.
I appreciate you. So congratulations to you. I really
thank you
for that.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. So let's delve down into these questions here. I got 10 questions for you. We might get through them and we might not. All depends on how the spirit is led up in here. So, as you know, May is basically the celebration of mothers. So we're going to bounce back and forth between motherhood and actually being a queen.
Okay.
All right. So the first question that I got for you is this. What are some of the joys of being a mom?
What are some of the joys of being a mom? Well, some of the joys are that, my kids are grown, so I'm going to probably be speaking in passing, even though I'm still a mom. But for me, the joys of momhood really, really is about being able to take care of my babies, you know, being everything that I could be for them, being a single mom. And not only a single mom, I was a teenage single mom.
Okay.
And so, obviously, you know, that comes with its own challenges as it is being a teenage single mom. But, you know, you don't get a manual of how to be a parent, but, you know, you do the best that you can.
Right.
But when your children can look up at you with a smile and they're always happy, they're, you know, they just look to you for everything. And when you're able to be able to provide their needs mm-hmm. and some of their wants and know that they never want it for anything, that's right. the joy that I get, because, you know, it's just showing love to my babies, you know, and just being whatever I need to be for them at any given time. You know, if they're sad, I can be with them during a sad time and talk them through something. And, you know, when they're happy, sharing in on, you know, those joyous occasions. But it's just the joy just of being a mom is really being able to take care of them at whatever level where they are, meet them where they are. And as they continue to grow, because as they grow, their needs change. And, you know, you have to kind of change with it, good or bad. You change with it and you do the best you can. You know, once you're a mom, you're going to always be a mom, no matter how old they get. But, you know, the older they get, they don't need you as much, which is great because I don't want nobody in my pocket at 40, you know, 50. So, but yeah, the joys of being a mom is just that, just to be able to be able to provide for them in any capacity, you know, and just love on them and love on them and love on them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because my mom, she still does for me, mm-hmm. even though I'm in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. She still does for me. I don't go to her as much as I used to mm-hmm. because I'm married now. But mm-hmm. Even though I'm married, I think my mother still sees me as that little girl. Mm-hmm. I think all of us moms do, because I still see my son as that little boy that used to hold my hand crossing the street, and now he's 14 and he's like, "Mom, don't hold my hand." He'll be jerking me and I'll be mm-hmm. jerking it back like, "Hold my hand crossing the street." But nonetheless, with my mom, it's like her whole thing is, you know, see, you still my baby no matter what. I don't care mm-hmm. how old you get. Mm-hmm. And another thing that my mom, I think that she could say that her joy of being a mom is the fact that she could still help me out if I ever mm-hmm. need the help.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I think that's one of the coolest parts that I'm really not looking forward to with my children, but I am going to do for them if they need my help, even when they
get absolutely.
Because that's what I was taught. That's why mm-hmm. that's how I was mm-hmm. raised. A lot of right. people were raised that way, or better yet, did not have, that wasn't fortunate enough to mm-hmm. have somebody in their corner to say, you know, when you get out there on your own, they basically told them, don't come back. Or better yet, when you're 18, you got to get the hell up out of here. Or, mm-hmm. you know, when you get married, don't come back, you know, home. You,
right.
your husband, you get, deal with it. No, mm-hmm. not for me. My mom's point is, you know, I'm the only child that my mother gave birth to. So okay. for her, it's more so of, I'm not the only child. My mm-hmm. husband is also her son. Like, she doesn't say son-in-law. She will tell people, I have two children, and that is me, and that is my husband. So she makes right. sure that she takes care of both of us. And even his mom does the same thing to us. So it works both ways for both of us.
Right, right.
I would say that I would want to be able to do the same and provide that to my children when they get older too. The door
right.
home will always be open to them no matter what.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. When you're a parent, you're going to always be a parent. You know, like I was saying that, you know, my daughter is 35 and my son is 32. And, you know, you don't stop being a parent, because whenever they need and you can help, you're gonna help, you know. I've always had this motto with my children that, you know, when you turn 18, I'm not obligated legally, because 18, you know, legally you're quote unquote grown, even though we know 18 really ain't grown, but I would say legally I'm not obligated to you, but I will continue to do for you, because, you know, if you need help, I'm gonna always be there for you, you know, right. and that's really how it goes, no matter what. And you're right, some people will be like, 18, you're out of here. But I've always had a moral compass that, you know, I'm not gonna just let my kid just, I know we gotta give them wings, we gotta allow them to make mistakes and do all those kinds of things, but if they come to me and I can help them, I'm absolutely going to help them. So yeah.
Absolutely, I agree. And that's how I feel about mine. Even though they are teenagers, I will always feel that way. Mm-hmm. I will always feel like the mom that is going to protect them even when they get in their 20s. you know, even when they go to college, I'm still still like that. So no, yeah, no matter what. And my mom feels like that too. My mom's 66, she'll be 67 next month. And okay. My mom, she will always be there for me. I know no matter what, no matter what happens, I know she'll be there until it's, you know, until she's called to go home. But other than that, my mom supports me no matter what I do.
Right.
All she said is, see, long as it's legal.
Absolutely. There you go. That's right. Gotta throw that in there.
I got your back. All right. So my next question for you is this. What is the most joyous experience you've had as a parent so far? I mean, I know your babies are grown and you got grands, but still, during the time of you actually being hands-on, what was the most joyous experience you've had as a parent?
Joyous experience. My joyous experience probably would be my son was into basketball, you know, so he was always into little AAUs and little basketball programs, and my daughter might have, you know, done like student council kind of thing, we're in school, but whatever activities, like, you know, activities that the kids would get in.
Right.
I'm just always there supporting them, cheering them on, and that was exciting for me. You know, again, as they are adults, I cheer them on, you know, in life, but in terms of raising them and just being able to be involved in anything that they had going on, celebrating their wins, you know, just being by their side if they're, you know, they felt like they failed at something, which is really not a fail. You know, you can never fail. You either win or you learn.
Right.
And so, you know, just being their biggest cheerleader no matter what. And so all those different kinds of experiences, like even back to my son who used to play basketball. And so, you know, I would take him out to the basketball court and I would play with him and, you know, try to help him get better. That's how I got into basketball and love basketball so much today, because of that experience that I had with him, you know, growing up. And, you know, again, with my daughter, anything that she might have had going on in school, you know, she wasn't very, you know, the athletic type of person, and which is fine because they're different. You don't have to be, you know, into the same kinds of things. But anytime she has something going on, you know, just being there to cheer her on and just be excited for them because they're coming into their own. And, you know, even as they became grown. So here's another joyous occasion that I had as they are an adult, mostly with my daughter, when she had her baby. And I was in the room with her when she had her first child. And so that was, oh my God, that was just so exciting for me because, you know, my baby's having a baby. And just to be there with her and bring that little baby into the world, and that little baby sees my face, but out of everybody, I was the first face she saw, you know, and right. So that was absolutely a joyous occasion for me.
That's so cool, because I can honestly say that was my joyous occasion, having my mom in the room when I gave birth to my son. Mm-hmm. I think the funniest part about that whole entire day, number one, I didn't cry. Number two, I laughed the whole entire time. I thought it was funny. number three, I remember my mom telling me to hold her hand, and I squeezed her hand so hard that she was going down into the floor. It's just like, damn, see, what the hell? I didn't realize my own strength, but Emily, I'm strong like you. So that was one of the joyous experiences that I did have as a parent. Another joyous experience that I can recall with my son was my son was 10 years old, right when I got ready to marry my husband. And my son told me, he said, Mom, I'm so proud of you making my dreams come true. And I said, what I do? Because I don't know. I do so much. I do so much for him. So I said, what I do? He said, you gave me what I asked for. Well, more like you gave me what I prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I prayed for a father and a sister and you gave me just that.
All right now.
That was one of the most joyous experiences I had. Did I cry that day? I think my eyes got teary. But he did. He gave me a hug. This was right before we went. Right before he went to school, he gave me a hug and everything. And he was just so excited. And then he got on the bus, waving to me on the bus. I think I cried. Mm-hmm. The fact that he said that—that's one of the things that I treasure most.
Yes.
That I keep, you know, close to my heart, and I think about it all the time, even now. And he's 14. And just the fact that this is what he always wanted, and I was able to provide that.
Give that to him. Yep.
Yeah, that was a joyous experience. Absolutely.
Yep. Being able to give your babies what they want and what they need, right? So.
Absolutely. You know, most people can't give that to their children, but I was blessed. I was blessed and fortunate to be able to give that to them, because, you know, giving somebody a father and a sister, that ain't no easy feat, especially when you want to make sure that you're
right,
that it's the right person that you're supposed to be with, you know, that God
gave
you. So I was just blessed all the way around the board, and I was just fortunate that I was able to do that for him.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. So my next question is, we're coming off of motherhood for a moment. I'm going back and forth, but we're going to talk about being, you know, celebrating ourselves as being a queen. So my question to you is this: how can one best celebrate the queen in them?
Well, one, you got to know that you come from royalty. And when I say that, you are the heir to God. So that's if you are the heir to God, you are royalty, you know? And so when you know that you're royalty, you love yourself, and it starts with self-love, right?
Right.
Because you got to love who you are, flaws and all. And when you love yourself and you know where you come from, you have no choice but to embrace that royalty, to embrace the queen within, to embrace who you are. Because, you know, we can do some marvelous things, you know. We can give back and be so powerful to people when we stand in our own self, within ourselves, and stand in the truth of who we are. Again, flaws and all, because we're not perfect. But again, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us. So, you know, that's already been taken care of, so to speak. And so I just think that when you start with self-love and you know who you are, and you embrace who you are, no matter what people may say about you, no matter what you might have gone through in your life, no matter what people might have known about your past, it doesn't even matter. If you just stay focused on you and be the best you that you can be, again, you wouldn't even have a choice but to be able to resonate with that, to resonate with the queen inside yourself.
That's right. I'm totally in agreement for it. Just like they said, you know, it says in the word that we are all made in God's image.
Absolutely.
So with that belief that we know that we are all made in God's image, that means that we are already made perfectly. You know, even with the flaws that we do have, those flaws are man-made.
Right.
They're not godly made. I want y'all to understand that the flaws that we have are man-made, because man says this is what we are, this is what we don't have, this is how we are not perfected according to society's rules. No, we're talking about the godly made version of ourselves, where we are all made in God's image, where we are considered perfect in his eyes.
That's
the only
right.
thing that separates us from him is the fact that we were born into sin, which we could not be helped, because that was the only way that we was able to get here. So with that being said, that is the best way that one person can celebrate themselves being the queen of them, as far as a woman goes. I mean, you can celebrate the king inside of you too, for those men who listen to who are listening to this episode.
That's right.
So for my women today, we're talking about just basically celebrating the queendom that resides inside of us, and learning how to reflect that onto other people, so that way when we walk into a room, you automatically know how we operate.
That's right. Yep. And it's funny because you mentioned something about being seen through God's eyes, and sometimes we don't see ourselves through God's eyes. And I think, you know, again, and it takes some practice, I guess, you know, because again, whatever's going on in your life, sometimes you get stuck on that. But if we truly take the time, and even for myself, I mean, I had to get to this point. You know, it's not something that you do right away. But you get to a point where if you can really, really try to look at yourself through how God sees you, then it's really easy to know who you are. And again, as I stress, because that's what this is all about, is being royalty, you know, being a queen, exuding that confidence, exuding that love, and being able to, you know, give love, you know. And yeah, so that's I think that's what you know, kind of makes it easy to see the queen in you.
Absolutely, I agree. And that brings me to my next question. And probably this, you're probably going to answer it in the same manner that you just answered this one. What does it mean to be a queen?
True, some of the same things I just said, but also being able to kind of give back in a way that you can help uplift people, right? So it's not just about knowing who you are, that's true. But it's also being able to get people to the point where you might be now in terms of how you see yourself, and, you know, being the queen and being able to, you know, speak life into someone, being able to help someone, you know, being able to pray with someone, you know, whatever the need might be, being there to kind of do that to people who may be less fortunate. And maybe they don't even have to be less fortunate, they just might be going through something and you might know of it and you're able to speak into their life. And so I think that's also, you know, being a queen, showing a queen, because again, a queen is not somebody who just receives things. You know, you have to be able to give back to people too. Being a servant, that's the way I like to put it, you know, just being a servant to your community.
Absolutely. And I wish that more women would understand that, not just our women in our community, but women in general.
Right.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to go back to motherhood. And the question that I have for you is this: what is your favorite thing about being a mom?
Well, my favorite thing, that's a good question, but I'm probably going to say it's to be a grandmother. It's probably not what you was looking for, but
hey,
my most favorite thing about being a mom is now being a grandma. And because, you know, you get to, you know, love on your grandbabies and not have to be the mom, you know. And you know, so I love being a grandma. Well, my grandbabies don't call me grandma, they call me Queenie, so hence the Queenie you. But I really love, you know, just watch them grow. I have four, and I just like to watch them grow and, you know, get their own personalities now. And, you know, I could, you know, just watch them. I mean, that's really it. Again, in terms of really being a mom, the best part about being a mom, you know, it really is just, again, just being able to provide for them and being there for them, knowing my history and my background and, you know, the odds were against me because, of course, you know, like I said, I was a teenage mom, so I was still in high school and, you know, people didn't think I would make it and, you know, just stuff like that. So it's always great to be on the other side of that where I've done really well for myself, you know. Me and my two kids, and just being able to do for them and provide for them and love on them. You know, it hasn't always been peaches and cream, but you get through it, you know. And but grandma, yeah, I love it. Queenie.
I love it. Oh man, I think I never heard any grandmother called Queenie.
Yeah.
That is something new I've heard. Grandma, yeah. G-ma, me-ma, glam-ma. But not Queenie as a girl.
Yeah. Little different, which I love it because I like to be different, you know?
That works. It fits you. It fits you perfectly, like you said. Hence the name.
Yeah.
All right. So, do you have any tips on how to keep the balance of family and your career?
Well, family and career. So, that's a hard question to answer because, again, when you're a single mom, you're doing everything. And let me say, I had support, so I don't want to totally make it sound like, you know, I really didn't have no help with anything, but I had a little bit of support. And so that certainly helps. And I think you do need the support because, again, as I was coming along, you know, at one point I was in school, I went back to school, and so I'm getting my degree, I'm working two jobs, and I have my two children who I had to stay on top of, make sure they, you know, getting their homework done, you know, taking their bath, you know, just making sure that they're good, right? All at the same time of me trying to work and, you know, continue to educate myself. And so I think support really is the key to a balance, you know, work life and professional life and, you know, family. Because if you don't have that support, then you're never really going to be able to balance it, because something is going to lack, right? You're going to always be working, never have time for the family or whatever, you know. So I think if you just have that little bit of support, that little bit of help that can help when you need to, you can kind of balance it better. And I will say, I wasn't always great with the whole balancing thing because, again, you know, I had to do what I had to do so that, you know, I put food on the table, you know, make sure we have a roof over our head. But but that support did help me. It did help me because if I didn't have it, I don't know, it could have went a whole different way. But so I think support is the key.
Okay. So,
because even if you're married, you know, like, right, even if you're married and you have children, and you know, you want your spouse to be there to help with the kids or whatever, with the homework, you know, what have you, so right, that you could probably do this, and then you might have time to, you know, spend with the family. So, you know, it doesn't matter who it comes from. It could be your friends, because, you know, some people may not have family. When I moved here to Virginia, because I don't have no family here, but, you know, I kind of, as I went along, met people. And so, you know, you end up getting a little bit of support from friends and things like that. So it doesn't matter who it comes from. I think support is the key to really help balance that whole thing.
Absolutely. I know that right now, where I am at in the balance of my family career, I do have support. Not only do I have support from my husband, but I also got support from my mom. Even though she lives 3 hours away, she still supports me,
right,
whenever I need her to step in, or my mother-in-law who's down the street. Anytime I need help, she steps in and support. And then I have my daughter's mom's family. Whenever we need their help, they step in and support. So I do agree. I think support is one of those things, you know, on, you know, that can help you keep the balance of family, right, and your career, even as a business,
absolutely,
owner.
Because absolutely,
business owner is not an easy feat.
No, it's not. But for me, since I'm kind of starting my business kind of late, the kids are already grown, so I didn't really necessarily have to juggle business owner on top of being a mom, and then on top of being, you know, working two jobs and going to school. So, you know, because that was already enough in and of itself. So the business owner in me, you know, kind of came after the fact. So at least from that perspective, I didn't have to juggle that piece of it, thank God.
Right. All righty. Let's see, what other questions do I have for you here? Okay. So, being that your kids are grown, mm-hmm, and you got grandkids, mm-hmm, your grandkids see you work on your business?
My youngest one does, yes. My little baby, Zamora. So, yes, she gets to watch me, you know, packing stuff. I'm on the computer all the time, and so she likes to be, you know, in the, you know, where I am, work when I'm working on the computer, watching me do what I'm doing. And sometimes she'd be like, Queen, can I help? When I'm packing up stuff. And, you know, sometimes I'll let her, you know, help out with that. But yeah, she gets to, the older three don't get to see me as much in that particular realm. But Yeah, my youngest one, she's 3. So yeah, she gets to see me. And I'm so proud because, you know, her face, I don't know if you got a chance to see the logo, but the logo has my grandbaby, my youngest one, on it. So, oh, you know, wow. Yeah. So, because I got 2 logos on it, but one of them, it has a picture of my daughter, myself, my daughter, and my 2 granddaughters. And so, yeah. Wow. So
that is dope. I looked at the logo earlier, mm-hmm. but I saw, and I thought I saw females, but I'm gonna have to go back and check mm-hmm. that again.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's myself, my daughter, and my 2 granddaughters.
That is dope. That is so dope to have as a logo. I mean, that yep. that is mind blowing. I haven't seen a logo like that before.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, because again, when I was thinking of the concept of it again, the Queen and You, right? And so I have to think of my legacy, you know, and they right. are my legacy. So
that's right. Mm-hmm. That is dope. All right, so we're going back and forth between motherhood and career. Yeah. This question I have for you is, what is one thing that you can share with other women about how to feel like a queen?
Share with other women how to feel like a queen. Again, self-love, you know, exude power, strength, you know, be... You know, again, knowing who you are, you stand in who you are, you know, you don't have to deviate, you don't have to dumb yourself down for anybody, you know, be who you are. We're all different and there's no right and wrong, but you have to show people how to treat you. And if you want to be treated like a queen, you have to present yourself as a queen. You know, and as you said earlier, you know, when you walk into the room, you know, people gonna know because the atmosphere shifts, right? And so, is really how you carry yourself. So if you want to be a queen, you have to, you know, stand for something or we'll fall for it, for everything, right?
That's
so
right.
You know, just be able to be confident in yourself, and just, you know, just exude strength, exude power, you know. I think those attributes kind of help you know who you are in terms of being the queen, you know, identifying that queen within yourself.
Okay. All right. I got 2 more questions for you. Mm-hmm. My last question, talking about motherhood, is this: what are the most important things you've learned as a parent?
What I've learned as a parent, oh my. a lot of lessons, but, I think you gotta listen to as a parent, right? You know, I have to admit, early on, I didn't really do a lot of listening to my kids because, again, you know, being a single mom, you got so much to do.
That's right. Right?
And it's like, look, just do what I ask you to do. Don't give me no lip. Just, you know, whatever. But, you know, as they grow, you have to take some time to listen to them. Because they are important, they do have a voice, and it's really important to understand what they're saying when they're saying something to you. You know, as I said, you know, it's not always peaches and cream, so when they come to you with something, you know, as my kids would say, you know, don't give me a fast no. I'd rather you, you know, just give me a slow yes, not a fast no. And again, I had to learn that because I just... You know, that, you know, you want to protect them from so many different things and keep them safe. And, you know, they might ask, you know, to go hang out with somebody and you may not even know who that somebody is. And, you know, so my first thing, again, like I said, when I moved here, I don't have no family. So when you start asking me, and I get y'all in school now and you meet people and things of that sort, but I don't know them. So when you asking me, can you go hang out with this person? Who is that? Usually my first answer is no. I want you in this house by X amount of time, and you know, but that was for their safety. It was for my safety as well. Well, not safety, right. But my how can I say it? My you know, my reassurance that they're okay. You know, because right. when you don't know people, you don't want them just hanging around with anybody, and so yeah. I don't want them hurt. But to answer your question, yes, I think for me, I learned that I have to listen more. And even as they get become grown, you know, it's even more so because now they're not children anymore. And so now, you know, it's not really more about, you know, you do as I say kind of thing. You know, you really do have to listen to what they got to say to you.
Right, right. The one thing I can honestly say is that in my household with my two, we have an open door policy. That open door policy means that if you want to talk to us about anything, you are more than welcome to do so. Right. If you want to vent to us about anything, you are more than welcome to do so. If you want to tell us how you really feel about us, you are more than welcome to do so. Mm-hmm. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to discipline you. We're just going to figure out the best way to rectify the situation so it doesn't have to come up again. Right. And that's what I share with my kids. And I make sure of that. They have that opportunity because I didn't have that opportunity growing up. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the opportunity that I wanted to have a voice. When I had a voice, I was lashing out. Mm-hmm. I was going against the grain and doing what I wanted to do. I said what I wanted to say.
Right.
And even though I'm older now and I talk to my mom, I can call her and vent to her about certain things. I can say certain things to her that I probably would have gotten in trouble saying before. But now I can come to her and talk to her about certain things, or I can tell her how I feel about her and whatnot. But there's a level of respect that has to be shown when it's done. So that's the only thing that I have against my children. I don't mind you saying what you got to say, but
be respectful.
Saying
absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Because like I tell them, respect will get you further than having an education.
There you go. You're right.
It really is. And a lot of people don't know that, but it is so true. Respect will get you further than having an education, because you don't have to have an education to do what it is that you may want to do. But if you show respect to somebody, somebody gonna show you the ropes on how to get it done.
That's right.
So I make sure that my kids know that. I know a lot of parents, not just my generation, but the generation under me, they don't want to do that. They're too busy trying to be friends with their children. I remember one day my son got mad at me. He said, "Mom, you're not my friend anymore." I said, "Bruh, I want your friend from the beginning. Say hello. I'm not your friend until you turn 18, and maybe I'll think about it then."
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, my kids always used to say that I was kind of mean and stuff. And it, again, it wasn't about being mean, but it's about your safety. But you're absolutely right. I was not my kids' friends. I'm not your friend. I'm your mother, and I'm here to protect you, because I'm the one that's going to be here. Whatever goes down, I'm the one that's going to be here. Your friends ain't going to be here. Nobody's going to be here. It's going to be me. So I 100% agree with you.
Absolutely. I'm old school. My husband and I, we straight old school. I don't mind jacking a child up in the corner and holding them up against the wall. I don't mind hanging the child from the ceiling fan and watching his feet spin.
Right.
I don't mind, you know, I don't mind it when, if my son runs up in my face, I'm gonna run back up in his, because my whole point is this. With him being autistic, I want you to understand that when you get out there in that real world beyond them doors, even when you go to school, you do that to somebody, they're gonna punch you down.
Right.
Let me show you what that really feels like. So yeah, you got parents out here, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because it's funny that we're talking about it, because my husband and I had a conversation about it a couple of hours ago. So the crazy part is that you got these parents out here that are scared of their children. And I'm like, I'm not scared of my children, not by the least. I tell my children straight up, you run up in my face, you better be ready to go on and lay down on that floor. That's exactly what you're going to be eating carpet by the time I'm done with you.
Right. And yes.
So I had a friend of mine to tell me, why do you threaten your children all the time? You know, they're going to eventually turn against you because you threaten them. I said, but I tell you what, you can sit back and say I threaten my children all the time, but when they step out in their streets, they know exactly what they need to do. They are respectful to adults. They don't buck on the adults. They don't disrespect the adults. They do as they are told. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir.
That's right.
I ain't got a problem with them. I don't have teachers calling my phone, blowing up my phone, sending me emails, leaving me text messages telling me that my child has been disrespectful in somebody's classroom, or my child is bullying another child. No, ma'am.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Even in the podcast world, I know some of y'all might watch me on my videos on Instagram. Y'all see me going off on my son. But I also want my son to understand, even though you have a disability, the people outside that door don't care.
That's right.
They're not looking at that. All they see is a light-skinned black male.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That can easily be controlled. Mm-hmm. Because he does have a disability.
Yes.
So what I'm teaching my son is to make sure that he does not use his disability as a it starts with a P. Fiddlesticks. I can't think of the word. It's gonna come to me. But I don't want my son to utilize his disability in a manner where he can actually utilize it and use it to get his way, basically.
Right.
Pedestal. That's the word.
Okay.
I don't want my child to utilize his disability as putting it on a pedestal or walk around talking about woe is me for the pity. No.
Right, using it as a crutch, right.
That's it. I don't want him to use his as a crutch at all. I want him to understand that even though you have a disability, you are able to do whatever it is that you are capable to do.
Right.
Yeah, you may do things a little bit slower, but as long as it get done, it doesn't matter.
It don't matter, right.
But you still got to show respect to these adults. Even when they tell you, especially the police out here, even if the police are yelling at you and cussing at you, do as they tell you to do if you want to live to another day.
That's right.
Don't put your hands in your pockets trying to get your phone. Don't worry about calling me because I'm going to find out anyway.
Right.
Let me handle that. You just do as you're told. My son experienced, had his first taste of racism about a couple of months ago in a 7-Eleven around the corner from my house. The lady was following him around in the store. My son had his hood on with his earbuds in his ear. And y'all have heard me talk about this on the podcast, but I'm going to mention it again because some of y'all ain't listening. So my son walked into the store. He had his hoodie on. He said, "Mom, I want some candy." I said, "Okay, cool." So I stood at the window watching him. And he knew exactly what he was getting, but he kept walking around because he didn't know what type of candy he wanted. But the lady that saw him was a woman of color, not my color, but a woman of color. And she followed him around in the store. And my husband said, "Yo, you see that lady following Jay around?" And I was looking around and everything. And I said, "Okay, let me keep my eye on her." And she got on my nerves. Because what she was doing was she was profiling my son because he had a hoodie on his head.
Already doing the wrong thing.
Thank you. Now keep this in mind. There was another male figure in the store who also had a hoodie on his head, but because he was a different race, she did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She only saw him. So I watched him, and I could read lips. One thing my mother taught me is how to read lips. A lot of people can't do that. So it's a hidden talent of mine, and I can read people's lips, so I can catch exactly what you're saying. Whether or not you saying it to me, I know what you're saying and who you're talking about or whatever. So I watched the lady, and she was basically telling him that he needed to take his hood off. He asked her why, and she explained why. And I'm so proud of him because all he did was take it off. He never bucked him, never got loud with her. He just said, "Yes, ma'am." He took the hoodie off. I got mad.
Right.
So the gentleman was on the outside the store that was an employee. Excuse me. He said, "Oh, shoot. I got to get off this phone. Something's about to go down and the mama ain't happy. And I got to get this situation straight." So he came in the store right behind me, right? And I came in there and I said, "Why did you ask my son to take the hoodie off his head when you had another person in the store that had a hoodie on and he walked out the store with the hoodie on his head?" "Well, technically, they're not supposed to have a hoodie on their head." And I said, "Well, I don't see that sign
on the
window. I don't see that sign nowhere on the window. I don't even see the sign at the door. What I see on the door is that if you are not fully vaccinated with Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, that you have to keep the mask on your face. But if you are fully vaccinated, you're more than welcome to walk into the store and take the mask off." I see nothing in here that says that gentlemen are supposed to take their hats and hoodies off. And so her whole point was, "Well, you know, you can't do that in restaurants and stuff like that." And I said, "But this is not a restaurant. This is a convenience store."
Right.
I said, I don't see where my son was intriguing anybody to make them feel uncomfortable. I think it's more so of a racial play that you're trying to play here. Because the gentleman that was in here was white. And my son is black. And so I figured that you probably pulling the racial card. But at the same token, I told my son, I'm glad that you took off the hoodie. You know what my son did? My son said, Mom, don't make a scene. Come on. He was dragging me out of the store. And I said, no, I'm not making a scene. I just wanted to be understood that if you're going to sit here and tell my son to take off his hoodie, you better take him and tell everybody else that walks in the store to take off their hoodie as well.
Right. She had no reason to tell him to take that off. Yeah.
No. And I'm so fortunate that the employee that came in the store behind me, he never got involved.
Good.
And the women that were standing behind me, they were ignoring what it was that I was saying. They were staying in the line. They didn't get in it either.
Okay.
But, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm cool. I'm all right. So I walked out. I was mad and everything. But I told my son, I'm proud of you. He stood there and he was crying about it. And I said, what are you crying for? He said, because I shouldn't have took off my hoodie. I said, no, I'm glad you took off your hoodie. Mm-hmm. Because it could have went the other way.
Right.
He could have pulled a gun and just blown your brains out. And after that, I'd have pulled a gun and blew her brains out too. Nah, you can't do that to my baby. And I'm sure any other mother that is on this podcast, that is listening to this episode, will probably feel the same way that I feel.
If
them in their position.
That's right.
You did the right thing.
You protecting your child. Absolutely.
You did the right thing. I'm glad that you did the right thing. I said, but that was your first taste of racism. Mm-hmm. I said, so with that entails, the way that you talk to me at home and the way you talk to your father, because sometimes he has this disturbing attitude that gets on my nerves. So I want him to understand that you cannot talk to me like that, because if you talk to somebody else out there like that, you may not make it home one day.
Right.
And I don't want you to ever get into that position where you might be at the result of blood on your hands and it's yours.
Right.
So I told him, I'm proud that he did do what he was told, because that could have went all the way left.
Absolutely.
So that was one of the most important things that I can honestly say that I learned as a parent, that I am still learning. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, your children in your 30s, I still got teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, with them experiencing what is going on in the world today, it is very hard for these kids to cope, because they got, with their social anxiety on max, I really feel sorry for the children of today.
Yeah.
Because they will never experience what peace was when we were growing up. And even though it wasn't as peaceful, our parents made it peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we didn't even know what was going on in the real world, because we were having fun in our world. Our parents casted a shadow over us, and we were protected 24/7. And sometimes the parents of today, they're not doing that to these kids. Mm-hmm. These kids are experiencing anything and everything.
These kids are out here wilding.
Yo, they, I don't even want to, that's a whole nother conversation for another day about these
kids.
So this podcast will run about 2-3 hours by the time we finish talking about that. But yeah, they wilding, and I just feel sorry for the babies of the day.
They'll
never get to enjoy childhood, because the majority of these kids that are young are already experiencing adulthood.
Yeah, and
that's the sad part. And I'm not talking about babies having babies. I'm talking about they are experiencing real adult problems at a very young age, and then they bringing that crap to school and doing that in school, because they're, like I tell my husband, these kids are only doing what they are being taught at home. It all starts.
This is true. This is true, and that's why, you know, I when I get back, I'm usually. Not so much the boys right now, but I talked to teen moms again, because I was a teen mom. And I used to volunteer at a group home for teen moms. And so, because we're talking about, you know, your male child right now, but these female children, you know, they're going through a lot as well. And so, you know, I try to, you know, give back by talking to them, helping them through certain situations so that they don't have to act out in certain ways and things like that. Again, trying to make them understand who they are, and depending on their situation, they don't have to respond in such a way. And I trust me, I know it's easy to respond negatively. It's easy to want to, you know, respond in such a way because you don't want to feel like a punk, or you don't want to feel like this or that or third. But in today's age, times, it, you know, you could just look at somebody wrong and they want to shoot you. And, you know, it's just so crazy. So I do a lot of, talking to our young girls, at least starting with them, because they're the ones having the babies, right?
Yeah.
And so it starts at home. And if they're not raising, if their babies are seeing how they're reacting or how they're behaving, then that's going to be another generation coming up doing what they're doing. And so you got to try to get it somewhere, start it somewhere. And so, you know, I really be trying to talk back and give back to the young ladies, because it starts with them.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. And congratulations on you actually doing that, you know, with your platform and everything.
Thank you. Thank you.
We need more people like you.
And, you know, and it, again, it's, that's not an easy feat either, because again, some of the girls don't be trying to hear all that. But again, it's about the approach, right? It's about, you know, again, about the queen in you, right? So it's how I approach them. It's how I can talk to them. It's how I listen to them. It's how, you know, they can vent to me. So when you come to them in that way of strength, right?
Right.
Exuding that queen person within you, and you can be, and they get to know you, they trust you, and then they're like, you know what? She was a tame mom. She did really good. I can do that too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't have to be out here wilding. Yeah, okay, I might have had a child young, but I don't have to get stuck. I gotta work hard, absolutely, but I can do it too. And I don't have to be out here doing all this, that, the third, you know, what they call it, twerking and, you know, all that kind of craziness. So,
yes.
You know, it does my heart some good when I could, you know, be able to touch their lives in that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And my last question for you is this: how can people reach you if they wanted to order from you, or if they wanted to follow and support you?
Sure, so they can reach me, or they can go to my website, The Queen in You, and that's letter U, so it's TheQueenIN.com. So TheQueenInYou.com is our website, and they can reach me out on Instagram at The Queen in You, same thing, letter U, The Queen in You. And Twitter, I am on Twitter. Well, I don't do much on there, but I am there. The Queen in You, but YOU7.
Okay.
So yeah, those are my social media platforms.
All right, all righty. And y'all heard it from her. Y'all heard it from her herself. So in order for you to wanting to support, if you wanted to purchase her clothes, go to her website, www.thequeeninyou, that is TheQueeninIN, the letter U, .com. Make sure y'all follow her on Instagram at TheQueeninYou, as well as on Twitter, TheQueeninYOU, 7. Thank you so much,
yes.
So much, Michelle, for just
thank you
on the episode. This was a great episode.
Yes, as I said, this was my first podcast, so thank you so much for your platform. Thank you to your audience for listening. And you know, to all my queens out there, please support. We got some really cool stuff out on the website. Again, as we continue to grow, we want to provide more variety, more dope stuff, more cute stuff. Look, I'm telling my age, I'm using the word dope. I don't even know if they say that anymore, but
yes.
You know, okay. So, you know, we got some really cool stuff out there. So, again, thank you so much, Nick. I really, really appreciate this.
Absolutely. And so we're getting ready to go into our closing remarks section. So the one thing that I want to leave y'all with is this. It's time to celebrate the queen in you. You are the ruler of your kingdom. You are the
kingdom.
Well, yeah, queendom. You are the ruler of your queendom. There we go. You are the captain of your ship, and you set the course for where it will go. All right. You are responsible for every aspect of your life and everything that happens to you, the good as well as the bad. You are in charge of how you react to these things and what you choose to do with them. Even though this is true, sometimes it can feel like there's something holding us back from being all that we can be. We have so many ideas about who we should be, what our lives should look like, and what we deserve that can get in the way of living a truly joyful life. These false beliefs cause us to lose sight of our power within ourselves. And when that happens, we begin living small, not just in our dreams, but also in reality. Here's the thing though, you are a queen, and queens don't live small, they live big. Queens dream big dreams and make those dreams come true through hard work and dedication. Queens pursue their passions with gusto and enthusiasm because they know that when they achieve their goals, their lives will be better for it. Queens don't let petty things like fear or failure stop them from what they want. I want to leave that with you on today. But thank you so much, Miss Michelle, for stopping by and being the guest host on my podcast. Come and check us out next Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon as we are entering into the month of June with our new segment, Just Men. I got 5 men on my platform for the whole month of June. We are going to celebrate fatherhood as well as talk about these 5 amazing business owners who are Black men in their own right trying to live out the American dream. I am your girl, Neek Austin. I am signing off. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and spread the good news and cheer, as I always do, every single Wednesday. Miss Michelle, thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Taking the risk. I greatly appreciate it. And I am signing off. Peace and be blessed. Hey, hey, it's Neek Austin here, the host of Koro is a Crush, where we talk about fashion, beauty, and faith while remaining true to ourselves. Every episode, I talk to someone who's trying to make a change for themselves or their community and learn about how they've made big or small improvements in their lives. I also chat about what's going on in the world that might be holding us back from being our best selves. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor for the Koro is a Crush podcast, please reach out to korocrushpodcast@gmail.com. Check out our new advertising opportunities now available on our website at www.shopkoro.com. Book your ad spot today and let me do the rest. I love to hear from you.